Welcome back. It's episode number 105 of the Red River Horror Podcast. This episode is going to be a quick one, but a fun one. If you know me, if you've ever talked to me, you know that I live on Reddit. It's my internet home away from home. I've got a lot of opinions with their upcoming IPO, but one thing I've been trying to get Eddie into has been going on to Dreddit, also known as rhorror on reddit.com. So sit back and relax as we discuss a little horror Reddit on episode number 105 of the Red River Horror Podcast. Welcome back to the Red River Horror Podcast. I am your host, Joe Zakreski, joined as always by RedRiverHorror.com founder Eddie Caiazzo. Hi, Ed. How are you?
Joe, I'm doing fantastic. We inch closer to spring and inch closer to our favorite time of year, so I am doing just fine. How are you?
Yes. You know, I'm doing okay. I've been a little nervous about what's going to happen to Reddit after their IPO goes through. Some people say it's like, well, nothing changes. But if you have experience through Facebook and Twitter, once they go public, the game changes because they have to keep up with it. They have to keep making money because you can't let your stock dip.
So that's a scary story in itself. So something you know and love, the great Reddit, is going to go public and there could be problems after that.
Yeah, and, we won't get into too much details behind that, but I could go on about it, and there's a lot of people already pissed off at Reddit because they ended all their third-party apps. Believe it or not, they didn't have their own app for a long time, so there was different. There was, like, Alien, Blue Alien, Reddit is Fun. Like, there's all these third-party apps that could give you access to it, and all those have been killed, and you have to use theirs only, which was, like, the first sign that this was going to happen. Now, we've done something like this before early on where I introduced you to two-sentence horror.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Right,
if you remember that, that's very early on when we started doing the podcast.
But, wow.
I don't like to use the horror subreddit too much because those are other people's opinions, thoughts, but I'll participate there. I don't bring it so much onto the show. I've been trying to get you into it, but now we're going to take some time today and I'm going to throw some stuff at you that's on there. And we'll get your thoughts.
Oh, okay.
And that sound good?
That sounds good. So we're talking, Reddit, the horror section of Reddit, if I'm getting this right, is called Dreddit.
Yeah. So that's the nickname for it. So rhorror, the sub-horror known as Dreddit, by artist subscribers, is the premier horror entertainment community on Reddit.
All right. No, I'm excited because I know there are a lot of deep thinkers about the genre out there, and I'm always curious as to what they have to say. So,
it's an interesting place full of different opinions. So I'm just going to get you started with this one that's right now sitting at the top because it caught my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll start out there. Ed, why do Rob Zombie movies get so much hate? And this is from a user, was at IO937, and I'll read this off to you. I never understood why people dislike Rob Zombie's films so much. Is the writing bad? Is it the hillbilly themes? I understand they're not the best, but they're far from the worst. Does anyone else feel like his movies are campy grindhouse flicks that are just meant to be entertaining?
Okay. That's a very fair question. And I'll start, I guess, from the top with House of a Thousand Corpses. Joe, we talked about it before. I know people outside of the Philadelphia area don't know, but we had this wonderful movie theater near us, the AMC Andorra 8. And there was a preview for Rob Zombie's House of a Thousand Corpses. We didn't really know what it was much about, but we knew we loved Rob Zombie. He was coming off of Hellbilly Deluxe, a huge album to both of us. So we saw that preview, and then, you go looking around the internet, and then back in the day, I don't know if it was real video or whatever, but you found another. It's just like, oh, okay, cool. Rob Zombie has that trailer. We can watch it on our old school monitor way back when on dial-up. But in the beginning, we were excited. A lot of people were excited for House of a Thousand Corpses, and it never really came immediately. I think there was a delay of at least a year. So we knew Rob Zombie was making a movie. We didn't really know what it was about. And then when it came out, there's House of a Thousand Corpses gets the retro love in the way that The Thing from John Carpenter gets love. At the time, because there was so much controversy surrounding the film, nobody really knew what it was about. So when they finally saw it, there weren't that many fans, at least, you know, and we didn't have Twitter. We didn't have the place of Reddit to use the subject of the episode. So getting back to that, there was no real excitement after House of a Thousand Corpses came. Go a few years later, and then you get The Devil's Rejects, which a lot of people absolutely loved. And I didn't know this, but you said, Joe, that pretty much it is like that grindhouse feel. It is that grindhouse type of movie. The actors, everybody really enjoyed the characters in The Devil's Rejects, so that was received a lot better. So now you have House of a Thousand Corpses, which gets all kinds of retro love, The Devil's Rejects, which everyone absolutely loves, and if I'm missing one after that, I apologize. But then Rob Zombie was given, I think he was approached by the Weinsteins with Dimension Films to make remake Halloween, and that's where we get into trouble. So so I'm trying to think. So if we got a lot of retro love for House of a Thousand Corpses, a lot of immediate love for The Devil's Rejects, not a lot of love for Rob Zombie's Halloween in 2007. So if you could just read me the question one more time, because there was a few points to it, because I'm trying to go through the movies in my head here. And then this is raw right off the top of my head, man. I'm surprised I got this Rob Zombie knowledge ready to drop.
Yeah, right. Wild, really, right? Rattled it off. It's good though.
Yeah. So remind us, Joe.
The question is, why do the movies get so much hate? The person was trying to understand what specifically does it send to, like, what specifically about it gets so, like, why does it deserve the hate that it gets sometimes, like, from Rob Zombie's movies? Now, okay. I can tell you the whole, like, you know, hillbilly trash thing gets a little old after a while.
And that's where it started, I think. And that's where, like, The Devil's Rejects, whereas everybody loved it, now he takes that concept and moves it to Halloween and gives us, you know, hillbilly type characters. And there started to be some signs of some chinks in his armor, especially with Halloween 2 that he released. Like, the dialogue was really poor. There was a lot of sense of he had the George Lucas complex, where it's just like, dude, you probably shouldn't write this. You're a great director. Why don't you hand off the writing responsibilities to someone else? Because it really came out, the dialogue was really bad. I mean, I think we can we both have talked about how much Halloween 2 sucked, right?
Yeah. I mean, one of the other things I think hurts him a lot is having his wife in everything.
Right.
And it's like, you know, whatever, but like, he typically gives her a major role and she's really not that good.
Like, so okay. So
she's, like, she's a little over the top, but I mean, I don't care. You know, he's doing it, but.
Well, not to interrupt you, but I think you're onto something. Okay. So the question is, why is there so much hate for Rob Zombie films? Joe, that could be bullet point one. Why is Sherry Moon Zombie in every Rob Zombie film? So we'll put Sherry Moon Zombie at the top of the list. I'm going to go, I just think that, not that he was exposed with Halloween 2. Notoriously, he didn't really want to make it. But he did, and he's like, all right, well, I'm going to do it my way. And he did, and I think that that's where we saw some bad writing, some bad acting. Like, you know, maybe his loyalty to some of the actors, they didn't really pull it off in Halloween 2. So if we go bullet point one, Sherry Moon Zombie in everything, and bullet point two, his writing is what I would say. Would you agree?
Absolutely that. And then, you know, when it comes to House of a Thousand Corpses, with it being delayed over a year, all the rumors of it being like, oh, it's rated, it can't get an R rating, it has to be NC-17, like how extreme and gruesome it's going to be. And then he really got was a goofy grindhouse movie. And the funny thing about that is, like, you know, a lot of people, when Devil's Rejects came out, it's like, oh, that was like this redemption. But now looking back at it, just over as time's passed, I prefer House of a Thousand Corpses over The Devil's Rejects.
I do too, but I agree with you.
It wasn't always like that.
No, I mean, we saw The Devil's Rejects in theaters. It was, we were both stunned. It's just like, oh my gosh, this is really good. But you're right. For me, though, I think that I saw House of a Thousand Corpses less. So by the time it came to rewatch the House of a Thousand Corpses, I wasn't as familiar with it. So when I watched it again, I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty good. And then you watch it again, it's like, oh, this is okay. Maybe I was wrong about House of a Thousand Corpses. This is actually pretty good. And yeah, and to be perfectly honest, I've rewatched House of a Thousand Corpses more than The Devil's Rejects. So now we get to The Lords of Salem. And I'm going to drop off in my Rob Zombie knowledge a little bit after this movie. So we get to this one. I thought another, again, great directing. I thought there were some really cool shot scenes, as Rob Zombie does. And there was, he did draw some inspiration from Kubrick with this one, with like some of the green walls and like the long shots and things like that. I loved House of Lords of Salem until we get to the end. We get to the end, and then all of a sudden it's this like psychedelic freak out where there's this like little monster, and I think he's like having sex, and it all gets very strange, and it all gets like almost to the point where it's a lot of the artwork that you see with his albums. It's almost like we had a nice serious movie going for quite a while, and then it just completely gets weird to take it away. So after that, after Halloween 2 and then Lords of Salem right after that, that's kind of where I drop off with Rob Zombie, as where I used to have to see all of his movies in theaters. I haven't seen one in theaters since.
Yeah, well, I think his last one went direct to streamers too. Was it, The Monsters went direct to Netflix?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I don't think he's going to get another theatrical release.
His
stuff's going to go direct to stream at this point, the way just the industry is.
But it goes back to our bullet points here. So so the answer to that question, again, it's a long answer to a short question. If Sherry Moon Zombie's in everything, she's in The Monsters. That carries on all throughout his films. There's the one constant.
Boy, is she in The Monsters.
And then I'm going to bring it to the writing, which to me started Halloween 2. I was like, this didn't do it for me. And the thing is, I haven't really been able to make it. I haven't seen Three from Hell. I started 31 and I never finished it. Like, I fell asleep on it. I've never really been able to finish a Rob Zombie film since The Lords of Salem, like after those four films. So if I were to answer the question, and we have our bullet points here, if it were me, I would just say that, you know, Rob Zombie, as he's gone on, has been a bit more exposed from Halloween 2 on, and I think people are onto it, and then just, you know, it doesn't become a must watch anymore.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. And that's exactly it.
And quickly,
so let's move.
I liked Sherry Moon Zombie in Rob Zombie's Halloween. I thought she was very good in that. And in The Devil's Rejects, I thought she was good in those two. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying, like, I think if you see her in The Monsters, and it's not entirely her fault, it's definitely the way he intended it. It just doesn't work.
Okay. That's a good question, though. That's a great question. All right, so you're getting me intrigued.
There's a lot of fun conversations on here.
Yes. All right.
So let's go. I'm looking at a user, Mousetrap24, was asking, they're looking for a good classic ghost story. Location doesn't really matter. What would you recommend for this user looking for a ghost story?
Oh, man.
What's a good ghost story horror?
Oh, okay. I'm going to say, the movie's called Ghost Story. It's got Forrest Whitaker in it, actually.
Oh, shit.
Yes. And if
1981.
Mm-hmm. It's a very, very good movie. I'm just going to read from IMDb what it's about. Because, you know, you're asking me this on the fly. I didn't.
No, that's the fun part.
So, let's see. Read it. Read it. What is it? Blazing Saddles. Read it, you wild bitch. All right. So, summary. Two generations of men find themselves haunted by the presence of a spectral woman. When the son of one of the elderly men returns to his hometown after his brother's mysterious death, they attempt to unravel her story.
Ooh.
So,
all right.
It's very, very good. I haven't watched it in a little while, but I would recommend that. And if I'm correct, did that come out the same year as Poltergeist? Because obviously,
I think Poltergeist is a little later.
Okay, so then yes, I say you check out Ghost Story, my dreaded friend.
Yeah, and that's, believe it or not, someone actually jumped in, recommended it. Someone seconded it, and then someone even recommended the book. They're like, the book is amazing too.
Oh wow! Okay. Yeah. All right, so Ghost Story, my friend. And if you want to go a little more modern, I would say The Grudge. I know that what it's based on, Ju-on The Grudge, is really, really good as well, but the American version, the one they remade, is just fine. You'll get some good scares there.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's a good one. Well, this is just an odd and interesting one that just popped up.
Oh, no.
It's like...
On the
no,
fly.
Like, well, this isn't even a question. It was just like an article someone shared. The Ruins, if you remember that movie.
I do.
It's currently sitting in the top 10 of Netflix's global chart.
Wow. So
is The Ruins about to like get some kind of like cult status, like just from like a new generation discovering it?
I was
fine with me. You didn't like it?
I wasn't a huge... I know we all... You and I watched it up at Ian's house, our old guitar player friend.
Yes.
We watched it there, and I was 50-50 on it. But to be honest, I haven't seen it since that time, and I know it's getting a good amount of love from people. And again, as far as cinema goes, there are a lot smarter people than me out there. So I am willing to give it another shot. I'm willing to give it a rewatch. Maybe we do that with our good friend Joe D sometime, and we do the live version. We watch it and kind of go along with it. No, I'll throw my comments in there.
Yeah, give it a, you know, they're stuck, and it seemed like most of it's kind of obvious, but I don't know, I thought it was really good.
Well, clearly you're not alone.
Yeah, because there's that, I don't know. I have to watch it again, because I'm like, I'm trying to remember, it's like, does the ending ruin it or anything? And I'm like, no.
No, they can't get off that pyramid, if I remember correctly. So we're going to have to figure out why. A rewatch.
They're not allowed off.
Right.
They try and walk down, and there's like all the people there. There's like no, like that tribe, and like there's like nope.
Rewatch. Absolutely.
They have to climb back up so they don't get killed by that.
All right. The Ruins. All right. I am in on a live stream rewatch, brother.
Yeah. So is that coming back? All right. Let's try. This one, this comes from a user, Worf Blarg.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the best depictions of Satan or demons in horror movies? The old horned and hooved devil demon archetype is a little underwhelming much of the time. There are times where it's done very entertainingly, like in Drag Me to Hell. But most of the time, it just feels like I'm watching Dave Grohl playing the devil in Tenacious D. For example, Malthus in the Annabelle franchise is just so hard to take seriously. That said, what are some really good versions of Satan and his demons in horror movies that distinguish themselves?
All right. Satan. Oh, when he's manifested in a film. I know we're going to get hate mail for this because I'm drawing a blank, Joe.
So I think it's like, you know, when he's talking about like Dave Grohl in Tenacious D, that's the big red... with the horns, mm-hmm. like the cartoon version of Satan. So I'll give you one that I like.
Okay.
When it comes to Satan and a depiction, and that's in Constantine.
Oh, that is a very good one.
Mm-hmm.
That is
even like,
yes.
Yeah, Gavin Rosdale's demon, solid, because they take you, like, that's the thing, they take human form.
Good call.
And Satan, and that's like human-ish. Like he's human, but just kind of like, yeah, something's weird with his limbs or something like that. I don't remember. He's like dripping or something.
he was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll actually give a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Pellegrino as Satan in the Supernatural series.
Yeah.
He was he was a smartass. Like he played like the trickster role really well. Like, he messed with a lot of those people in the show, including the brothers, and especially Sam. So Mark Pellegrino as the devil in Supernatural, I think, is a really good depiction of one on screen. And if I'm remembering correctly, Joe, Constantine is... So the devil... He, Keanu Reeves' character, Constantine, summons the devil at the end, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just trying to think of that actor.
I can't remember.
Peter
Stormare. When he's dying.
Peter Stormare. Yeah. Is,
that's how he's... When he cuts his wrists, that's how he gets them to come up.
Right.
Here's another one for you. How about Al Pacino in The Devil's Advocate?
Oh, that's an easy one. How did I miss that? Another Keanu Reeves film.
Another Keanu Reeves.
Wow. Uh-oh.
Keanu and the Devil.
Keanu and the Devil.
What a combo.
That's a good one. After that, I can't just because you know my love for The Exorcist. Obviously, that's not the devil. Pazuzu claims to be the devil, but he's really not. So.
Mm.
Yeah, I can't use that one.
No, and I'll throw out. So I think we watched this one, The Witch.
Ooh,
someone's saying The Devil and The Witch is one of their. They're like, that one's great.
That is a good one.
The creepy jingly spurred boots adds a nice touch.
he takes the form of Black Phillip, the goat, but when he finally does start talking to Anya Taylor-Joy, the ultimately the witch. Yes, that is a good manifestation of the devil because it's not too much. You don't even really see him other than the fact that he's like standing behind her. So
yeah.
Pretty cool. Okay.
And then the top one that someone commented was Viggo Mortensen in The Prophecy.
I have not seen that one.
So I'm like, I'll have to play some catch up there.
Yeah.
So The Prophecy.
I'm going to write that one down. The Prophecy is one of the ones we have to watch. So I have to rewatch The Ruins.
With the Prophecy with Viggo Mortensen, because there's the other ones with Christopher Walken, right? The
whole
Prophecy series.
The Prophecy with Viggo. Got it. Okay. Viggo! Ghostbusters reference. Oh, we got to talk Ghostbusters soon, man. Not today, but soon.
No, not today. I didn't even see when the release date is for the movie.
Yeah, the marketing has kicked off. I can tell you that. I'm already getting targeted on YouTube, so that means we are going to the theater to see it, Joe. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Choose your destructor. Sorry.
It's okay. Here's another question thrown out there from user Abs World. Which horror media do you consider to be a true work of art? Now, they expand on that. They say, we all know that horror genre can be hit or miss in terms of winning awards sometimes, especially at the Oscars. No matter how iconic something like a horror movie can be, award shows are usually not kind to them. Horror games and books do better, but my point still stands. So I thought it would be interesting to see what horror media, but especially movies, you consider to be true works of art worthy of something like an Oscar or some other type of award that they didn't receive. It could be down to directing, the acting, the story, special effects, etc. Anything that really stood out to you. And discussion of horror TV shows, video games, and books are also allowed. Oh, that's nice. So what do you think?
I would go with, the first time I played Resident Evil 2, Joe, I hadn't really experienced any games like that. So I know the story of Resident Evil gets a little crazier as it goes along, but I would say General Fear... that was one I couldn't really, what was that, 98, I think it was?
Yeah, weren't you there? Because Huey had it on PlayStation, the first one. Were you there that night? We were in his house. was playing it. Every time there was like a cut screen with that door, how you had to open doors.
Oh, yeah.
That first one is that's special.
So the first one, that was the one in the mansion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about two only because I missed Resident Evil 1. So I was probably not there with Huey or Pat.
Okay. Which one's the better version, N64 or the PlayStation for
PlayStation?
I knew what your answer was.
but there's actually something to it. For I don't know why. I recently looked this up, and the sound design is much cleaner. And that's the thing. Sound is a big part of it. Like, you hear something off, you have no idea what the heck is going on. Now, obviously, mm-hmm. the GameCube versions, ultimately, they were really cool. Those remakes that they all made, they were probably the best ones, ultimately. But, yeah, Resident Evil 2, just the sound, the stuff that you think you saw, and then it's like, holy crap, there it is. Like the liquor or whatever climbing on the wall when you walk into the room mm-hmm. in the very beginning. So Resident Evil 2, and I would say Silent Hill 1. Now, Silent Hill 2 gets a whole lot of love. 1 scared me as well. That was a pretty cool, pretty well-designed environment there in the first game.
Absolutely. And I'll get that because, like, you know, as on this show, how much we appreciate atmosphere. I mean, just the Silent Hill movie, the atmosphere, it's just perfect.
It is.
It's probably one of the most perfect going from, like, video game to screen setups that's been done.
It is. I agree, because Resident Evil, while I liked it when we saw it, like, I didn't have any problems with it, and we followed it for a while. I don't know how many there ended up being, but we followed the Resident Evil movies for a while, but they kind of went on the more action-packed side of things. Like, that's kind of the tone that Sony took with the Resident Evil films. Which the game is much scarier. Like, there are moments that can get you in Resident Evil. I remember Resident Evil 4. Holy crap, that was another one. So I would say Resident Evil 2, Silent Hill, Resident Evil 4, atmosphere. Yes, we talk about it all the time. Those games had it.
Yeah, and they still do. They still do. When I was, before we moved our furniture into my house, like, when we were still, like, well, still ripping out carpets and doing other things and, like, doing regular my job by day, I had, when Google Stadia was still around, I got a free trial for Resident Evil Village.
That's right.
I played it in this empty house, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna leave.
Even as an adult? Like, wow.
Yeah, it was making me uncomfortable. So, like, I don't want to be alone right now.
That's awesome. I would give anything to have that feeling again. Like, that's how I felt the first time I played Resident Evil 2. I was in the basement. It was dark. It's like, holy crap. There's sounds. There's sights. So Resident Evil Village gave you a little chill. I like that. I like that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So now, and as real quick, I'm just taking notes here as we go. So I got to rewatch The Ruins. We got to watch The Prophecy with Viggo Mortensen. Now I say we do a Resident Evil series of shows. Doesn't have to be as many as we did with The Evil Dead, but maybe a two-parter with our good friend Devin, because I know he said he was a big fan of the series.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'll try and track him down.
Resident Evil shows. Perfect. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's all good. But I was going to say, like, anything that's, like, really artistic that probably deserves maybe some type of award just for somewhere, and it's got to be what Flanagan does. I mean, his shows, Mike Flanagan, like, his shows are so good.
Yeah, they are.
And it's like, how are they not winning, like, or getting, not, like, we'll have to dig, because I don't think I've seen him nominated for much, or even, like, the people who work on, like, the effects, the sounds, everything he does, like, is just so well executed with just really beautiful stories, too. And it's like, why is that not getting the recognition that I think that deserves?
I think Flanagan gets plenty of love because he is that good. He makes, I know this sounds weird, he makes you feel things when you watch his films, you know?
And he just does a good job with a variety, you know, cast, and just makes everything work.
Yep.
It just does it really well.
His cast is good. His direction is perfect. I think we may have talked about this on a previous episode, but I don't know how you're tasked with Dr. Sleep and having to meld those two worlds together, because literally The Shining by Kubrick is one of the greatest films of all time. Stephen King, who wrote the story, the book, hates it. And now you have a super popular book super popular movie, and now you have to make the sequel from Stephen King's material and make it in that Kubrick-esque. Ah, yeah, Flanagan's great, man.
He crushed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Gerald's Game, I think he did, which was outstanding.
He did.
Yeah, that's a great one.
I think Gerald's Games, that's the one that started the recurring casting. I think that was his first one with people that you start to see in
Hill House.
Hill House and so on.
Yeah, okay.
I like that about him too. That's kind of fun, using the same actors.
Yeah, especially if they're good, which they were.
Yeah.
Like that kid, yeah. One scene that really disturbed Stephen King was when they killed the baseball player in Dr. Sleep, the kid. And yeah. I watched an interview with him. I don't know if it was when we interviewed, King on Screen. I don't know if it was from that or something else, but I saw he said that kid as an actor really sold that. Like he gave all the credit to the acting of that kid as making that scene so disturbing and powerful. Like it's not an easy watch that, no. But that's earlier on in the film that sets the tone. But I know King was really freaked out about that scene, you know, obviously having kids himself.
And that's an honor right there. I mean, geez, yep. That's a badge of honor.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do one more.
Okay.
We'll do one more because I know this week we're on a bit of a time crunch.
Yes.
So, hey, one more. One last one, as my dad likes to say.
Make it a good one.
Here we go. What are the best movies where the villain is female? Misery is the movie that comes to mind first. Annie Wilkes is the most fucked up characters in horror history, in my opinion. And that scene, oof. What other great films where the villain is a woman? What were your favorite ones with the killer ladies?
I gotta go. No, you know what? I will say The Ring, Samara.
There you go.
She is really creepy. The first time I saw that film, I'd be willing to bet the experience that you had with Resident Evil Village when you were by yourself. If I was by myself watching The Ring, I think I'd get creeped out by Samara again. I really do.
Nice.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Is Carrie, is she the villain though?
There's just so many things explored in that film, and there's kind of a reason why she snaps and, you know, uses her telekinesis to the full to the full extent at the end there. Ooh, is Carrie a villain? Now that's a great question. I don't know, because I love Carrie.
Yeah.
De Palma.
I mean, some innocent people do go. I mean, they do. She does kill some innocent folks in the process.
Oh, yeah. Yep, she but snaps.
Doesn't everybody deserve it? They're all going to laugh at you.
They're all going to laugh at you. Sissy Spacek is just... That was... I never knew what Carrie was about, and I caught it on TV. I think it was like TNT way back in the day. Because obviously I wasn't really allowed to watch it when I was young. But I did
actually aired on UPN 57 a few times. I think that's how I've watched it the first time.
Wow. So I didn't know what Carrie was about. All I saw whenever I tuned in, cause you know, you couldn't rewind stuff back then that was on TV. You just had to watch. And I think it was on TNT and she's just walking down the street covered in blood and things, the school's on fire behind her and everything. And I mean, her acting there, she's terrifying. Mm-hmm. But is she a villain? That's a question I can't answer, Joe.
Is she? Yeah. In the Japanese realm, there's some great, scary leading ladies. And one that used to win, like, the scariest of all time was Audition.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. What does she say when she's doing? She's like, dee-dee-dee-dee.
Yeah, when she's like...
It's weird. Creepy.
Because Audition, it is weird. It's not just the viscera, like the gore and the disgusting things that happen, but there's some really strange stuff surrounding that. That's another one where the tone, everything about that movie creeps me out. Not just the famous piano string amputation and whatever else happens, that's not the only thing that freaks me out about Audition. That's scary.
If you haven't seen it, that's a movie that's going to make you very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it does a good job at that. Now, would you have to throw in the OG Friday the 13th?
Ah, Mrs. Voorhees. She is a great villain. And nobody expected that it was the sweet, sweet old lady, Mrs. Voorhees.
No. What a twist.
Ha.
And someone actually threw in Dr. Sleep in here.
Ooh, Rose the Hat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's pretty vicious.
Like, all right.
She's pretty vicious. There's still time. I wouldn't say of all, like, Annie Wilkes is still above her as far as evil villains, but there's plenty of time for Rose the Hat to be brought up there. How about that? Three Stephen King. Carrie, Annie Wilkes, mm-hmm. Rose the Hat. What is with Stephen King creating these scary women?
I don't know, but he's got it. He's got it down. So, I don't know. I think if there's another one, here's one here that's like, oh, shoot, I got to rewatch that. From a 90s movie, Species.
Yeah, I never saw that. I just remember the talk in the lunchroom was that there was boobs in it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
That's pretty much it, I think. I don't remember if the movie was good or not. I just remember we had a classmate who had it, and I went to his house to watch pretty much just that, the boobies.
Okay.
Classic. And then one more for you on leading lady bad guys, we could say. How about Urban Legend?
Maybe. Yeah. Because that's just a standalone. Like Urban Legend, like, it's good. I enjoy Urban Legend a lot. That was a great video rental back in the day, the first time I saw that. But I don't know. I'd need some. It doesn't really come close to Annie Wilkes or Carrie or Rose the Hat or any. So yeah, I don't know.
Because she herself's not scary. She's just, you know, it's someone doing the slashing and then being her as a surprise twist.
She's the whodunit. But what is scary is her name Rebecca Gayhart, the actress?
I think so.
That plays her. There is a death surrounding her in real life, sadly. I'm just going to try and pull it up real quick. So she's 52 now. Huh. I'm going to see. There's definitely controversy surrounding her. That's pretty scary. But to bring it on home, because I have some news on this, how about Pearl?
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, do we have to say X and Pearl and soon to be Maxine?
So Maxine has a release date finally. Before we just got the Hollywood sign and the Maxine. So now July 5th. July 5th is when we will see Maxine. So we might have to watch the trailer on the next episode here.
Sounds good to me.
Yes. I'm trying to find the controversy surrounding Rebecca Gayhart. Okay. Da da da. June 13th, 2001, while driving a vehicle owned by Italian actor Marco Leonardi, Gayhart struck 9-year-old Jorge Cruz Jr. as he walked across the street in Los Angeles. Cruz died the following day from his injuries. Gayhart paid the family $10,000 for Cruz's funeral expenses and was given permission by the family to attend the service, but ultimately chose not to. August 7, 2001, Gayhart made her only public statement on the incident, in which she said, "The pain of this tragedy will live with me forever. Despite the allegations in the lawsuit, the facts will establish that this was a most unfortunate accident." So that was some real tragedy surrounding Rebecca Gayhart as she struck a child. Yeah, I remember there was some reason she was controversial. Not controversial, but I remember, like, I was trying to think of why I didn't really see her in much post Urban Legend, and that's why, sadly. So I don't want to leave it on a down note. There's a lot of bad things we can talk about. but yes, so Maxine has a release date. So what do you think? I'll ask you, do you consider Pearl And Maxine, do you consider Mia Goth, the character she's pretty much playing, as a good horror villain?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, I guess so. I mean, there's nothing really that'll like blow. Like, she's not like really creepy or anything.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. No, that's true.
But I do enjoy the slasher element. Like, pretty much they've made her into a, you know, a Mike Myers, a Jason, a Fred. Like, you know, she's worked her way into slasher cred.
Hmm.
But we can, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh yeah, it's better than those, or but I think it's heavily inspired by those 70s, 80s, like the 80s slasher. I'm so used to saying 80s thrash metal that that's what I almost said instead of 80s slasher.
I mean, I'm a big Ty West fan. X was good. Pearl disturbed me actually a little bit. It's not really one that I think I could go back to because of how messed up some of the stuff is. Like, that's an unsettling film, Pearl. It's a good mix of slasher, if you want to call it that, and just some stuff that'll psych you out a bit. I think something that Ty West is really good at doing. And then real quick, there were no female problems in these films, but The Final Destination, the new film Final Destination, the sixth installment, has a title, Joe.
Okay.
It's called Bloodlines.
Okay.
So,
is Tony Todd signed on?
I don't know.
Yeah, he better be.
To be continued. So.
Yeah. I don't think it's no casting announcements on that yet, but a title.
Yes. And Jeffrey Reddick, friend of this show, he did speak to Dread Central in 2022. Final Destination 6 is going to add a whole new layer to the franchise. Film dives into the film in such a unique way that it attacks it from a different angle. So you don't feel like, oh, there's an amazing setup and then there's going to be one wrinkle that can potentially save you. All that you have to kind of make a moral choice about or do to solve it. There's an expansion of the universe that I'm being so careful, Reddick teased. So we're going to see if we can pry some more information out of our good friend Jeffrey Reddick.
I think it's time to pry.
I think so. But I just wanted to get those. That's kind of a little bit of breaking news this week. We will be seeing Maxine July 5th and the new Final Destination film, which we've been waiting very patiently.
The title that's a little like just Bloodlines. Is this going to be like, oh, it's the son or daughter of Devon Sawa?
I hope not.
Being the main character.
I really, really hope not.
Bloodlines is what's making me think it's going to tie in.
So New Line Cinema is producing the film. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I think I think with New Line at the helm, you know, that's not that Jeffrey Reddick is writing this one. But I think they know what's up. I think they'll handle it nicely. I don't think they'll, go the way of Hellraiser and what Dimension Films and the Weinsteins did to Hellraiser. I think the Final Destination's in good hands and we can expect an exciting part six. And I don't know that it runs that deep. So I'm going to say no. There may be one person related to the original Final Destination, but I'm going to say that it's not going to be Devon Sawa or Ali Larder or any of the original cast's kids.
Okay. I got a feeling that's the way it's going to go. But we'll make that bet.
All right. We'll see if we can pry.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see if Jeffrey can join us again, see what he knows. And Tony Todd, I'm going to write question mark Tony Todd. So to wrap, Joe, I just want to recount here. We got to rewatch The Ruins, got to watch The Prophecy with Viggo Mortensen. I would like to do a part one, part two of Resident Evil to flesh that out a little further because those games are awesome. And is Tony Todd in Final Destination 6, now called Final Destination Bloodlines?
He has to be.
He better be.
Better be. All right. So that's going to wrap things up for episode number 105. You know where to find us on, you know, the social medias at Red River Horror. Send us suggestions, requests to redriverhorror@gmail.com.
Putting a lot more stuff up on YouTube, Joe. We got some trailers up there, got some abandoned hunts, and we'll be doing more of that. So definitely go to the Red River Horror YouTube page. Give us a subscribe, hit the little bell, all the funny things that they say to do when you watch your favorite videos on YouTube. If you could do that for us, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Yes, be a friend. Hit that bell. Subscribe. And get those notifications. And we won't blow you up too bad. It'll be a good time.
Yeah. When the bell rings and it's Red River Hard, you're going to want to watch it.
Hell yeah. And with that being said, that's Eddie Caiazzo. I'm Joe Zakreski. This has been the Red River Horror Podcast. And remember to keep traveling those channels of fear.